this time on episode 173 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to welcome a very special guest to the podcast. We're going to talk about the latest Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, Farewell, Cruel World. We're going to run down your weekly Marvel news as your feedback. Thank you very much to our fans.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Joe from PopX Cast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Hydra Henchman, aka Bob's assistant, Steven.
We'll get to that in just a second. In the meantime, welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of oddly familiar feelings of death.
If you'd like to talk to us about your oddly familiar feelings of death, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to talk to us about your death deja vu, you can call us on our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can also find us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast, unless you're Stargate Pioneer, of course.
Don't!
You can find us on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Our video companions can be found on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is also allegedly a member of the Gunna Geek Network. Now, I'm not part of this podcast usually, so this network is new to me, but I'll trust these guys on that.
Why wouldn't you trust us? We're super trustworthy.
All the time trustworthy. By the way, the vaunted Hydra henchman, Steven, aka Hydra Bob's assistant, is actually the very own Gunna Geek Network owner, Steven Wandrew. How you doing, Steven?
Who are you talking to? You talking to me?
I'm talking to Steven Wrongdrew. Yes, Steven Wrongdrew.
No, I'm happy to be on here. Always, always fun to do an episode of this show. And I'm on the road this week, so how much fun is it to be doing an amazing Marvel podcast on the road, too?
Thank you very much. We do an amazing Marvel podcast, don't we, Haley?
Yep. It's the best Marvel podcast I've ever heard.
By the way, I heard that you were the official Marvel podcast of the Gunna Geek Network.
No. That's not true. We're the official Marvel podcast of the GunnaGeek.com network. Steven, thank you very much for joining us. He's stepping in this week for Lauren, who is on assignment. We can't wait to have her back next week. She did watch the show last night. She did some amazing live tweets. I know you all were tweeting with her because my phone was going off all night long. So thank you very much for that. She does send her thank yous, and she will be back next time we do this, which actually is not going to be next week, but listen, wait till the end of the podcast and we will tell you all about what's coming on next. In the meantime, let's get on to the main event. We're going to be talking about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, Farewell, Cruel World, this week. And as always, we start by talking about the creative team behind the episode. And Haley, why don't you break down the director for us this week?
Well, this episode was directed by Vincent Misiano. He's had 42 directing credits since 1998, including 2 episodes of Ally McBeal, an episode of Ed, 5 episodes of my beloved The West Wing, 4 episodes of 4400, 3 of Prison Break, 2 of Warehouse 13, 1 of Arrow, 1 of Agent Carter, and 11 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Episodes including FZZT, Turn, 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 which is really good, The Only Light in the Darkness, Shadows, The Writing on the Wall, SOS Part 1, Laws of Nature, Mavith, Emancipation, Meet the New Boss, and this episode, Farewell, Cruel World.
Vincent has been with this series since the beginning, obviously in 2013, making it all the way to 2017. Thank you very much, Vincent, for all the great episodes. I was remembering all of them as Haley was going through them. And yes, Turn, Turn, Turn was really good. SOS Part 1 was really good. Mavith was really good. This is just a great director. So thank you very much, Vincent. Steven, let's bring you on into the team and let's talk about who wrote this episode.
It was written by Brent Fletcher, which has a variety of different credits, including 1 episode of Angel, 1 episode of Lost, 1 of Friday Night Lights, 1 of Spartacus Gods of the Arena, 8 of Spartacus War of the Damned, and 10 past episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including Girl in the Flower Dress, The Magical Place, Providence, A Hen in the Wolf House, Love in the Time of Hydra, The Dirty Half Dozen, Closure, Failed Experiments, Broken Promises, and Farewell, Cruel World, which was this one.
So, Steven, out of that list, which one is your favorite that Brent has written?
Honestly, I'm not very good with remembering episode names, but Girl in the Flower Dress stands out to me. I don't really remember it, but it's obviously on my radar, but last night's episode was really good, too.
The Dirty Half Dozen was pretty good, and The Hen in the Wolf House was pretty good as well. So, Haley, did you have a favorite of any of the episodes we talked about?
I really remember liking A Hen in the Wolf House, which I think was when Bobby was introduced.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That was a good episode.
And we had Simmons as a spy within Hydra.
Yes, you're right.
Ooh.
Oh, that was an amazing episode.
Lots of these are amazing episodes. So thank you very much to Brent Fletcher, the writer of the episode, and Vincent Misiano, the director of the episode. You have served the series well. So we're going to talk a little bit about the episode here. Let's just talk briefly about the meaning of the title. Farewell, Cruel World, which I believe, isn't that a Wizard of Oz quote right there?
Maybe.
Yes, it is. It is a Wizard of Oz quote, yes, and Wizard of Oz or Kansas was brought up in the episode.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. You are the one that got to see it in theaters.
That was back when there was actually a brief interlude in the middle of the film where you can go out.
How exciting was it for you when the world finally became colorized?
You stole my joke, Haley.
Actually, it was very exciting. I remember watching Saturday morning cartoons on a black and white TV, 13-inch one in the basement, which I have no idea how we got signal in the basement, but we did. And I was very excited once we finally got color TV. Yep. And the knob that you had to turn around, you zzzz. Mm-hmm.
What was it like podcasting without audio gear?
It was called writing a letter with your hand. It was chain letters, by the way. It wasn't podcasting.
Was postage like a halfpenny back then?
Oh, man. I forget what postage. I want to say it was under 10 cents. I remember when I was in college, it got up to about 25 cents. I don't even know what it is now because they do the forever stamps. I think it's around 50 cents, but who knows? Who cares?
I think it's more than that, but
I'm sure it is.
This is exciting, exciting stuff, people. It's what you came here for, is discussions of the inflation rate and postage.
Let's talk about the title here, Farewell, Cruel World. Obviously, an homage to Wizard of Oz, but what else could it be an homage to, Haley? Did you watch the episode?
I did.
So what happened at the end of the episode?
Well, they're obviously leaving this cruel Nazi-run world and going back to the real world where we mostly defeated the Nazis, mostly, except for the ones that are still running around.
I think that this plays many, many parts, one of which is actually, it's a payoff for a long time. And just to jump ahead a little bit here, we have seen the heartbreak that Mac endured, and he is much happier in this other world. So he's saying farewell, cruel world, to the real world.
Doing a little bit of mirror flippy floppy there. I wonder where you got that idea.
I mean, we're kind of running to the end of the episode, but I was left wondering if Yo-Yo might join him in this fake world.
That would be amazing. Yo-Yo and Mac together forever in the framework. Nice. So is that the blue pill or the red pill, by the way, with the Matrix? I can't remember which one. Which color makes sure that you stay?
I think the red pill wakes you up and the blue pill keeps you in the Matrix.
Okay, so they're taking the blue pill.
It's like TNG where they take Moriarty. How do you say his name? And then Moriarty, and they put him in the little... What the heck is his name? Give me his name. I don't know his name.
Who?
Moriarty. Cha-cha-cha.
Moriarty, thank you.
No, it's Moriarty. I was just making a joke.
Moriarty, whatever his name is. And they put him in the little cube, and that's where he lives for all of eternity, in happiness.
Is he, though?
But that's what they're going to do. The computer end program, put Mac in a little cube, and that's where he'll live forever.
Well, you know, Mac's not going to be using his body anymore, so maybe they could just put that fake trip in there.
Ooh, nice.
That's true.
I need to ask you guys a question. So Mac was suggested by Daisy to be the new Patriot. Did you guys get a little Captain America vibe there?
Very much, yes.
Absolutely.
Did you like it, or did you think it was typecasting? Did you think it was maybe even racist? I mean, let's have it out here.
I didn't think it was racist. I'm happy to see Trip again, and I'm glad that they gave him some things to do. And I don't think that's the last we've seen of the framework, so maybe we'll even get to see him as the Patriot.
I forgot.
I agree with Haley, by the way. I totally agree. And I think, like, I remember when he died originally, I thought that it was actually an unfair death for his character. It didn't sit well with me for a very, very long time. So I was glad to see them, at least in this sense, in a fake Trip, give him something awesome.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. So Trip is a construct of the framework in the Matrix. He's the Agent Smith of the Matrix, right? And Ada has proved that she can come out as a robot into a real girl, Pinocchio vibe.
A real girl with magic teleporting powers.
Was it teleporting, or was it taking her back to the framework? We'll have to have that discussion later. I want to finish this off first. So yes, she comes out of the frame. Could somebody who is just a construct like Hope, like Trip, be transported out of the framework to become real people?
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. I've thought about this, and this is actually, I know a couple weeks ago I was in the chat and I was talking about how, you know, everybody was mind blown that Fitzwetten killed whatever her real Ada's name is, the human, whatever her name was. Everybody was upset about that. And I brought up the point that all of these other caricatures, or whatever you want to call them, constructs within the framework, were being killed and nobody was caring at all. And they were talking about the fact that, you know, they could go and they want to close down the framework and thus everybody will die. Well, if that is the case, if these constructs can be removed to the real world, then anybody who was killed within the framework, any deaths are just real, just like in the real world as well, including anybody that had to get put down while they were trying to get to Coulson and gang. So I think that if somebody can come out, it changes the whole perspective of everything that happened within the framework.
Hmm.
See, my thought on it is, yeah, this is artificial intelligence. Absolutely. And as we've seen before, when you marginalize artificial intelligences and treat them like they're just things, bad things happen. Skynet. Terminator. Like, you want Terminators?
Here's the cool thing, though. If we do end up determining that this can happen, and there's no side effects or anything like that, is there's your chance, if they do another season, to get some of our characters back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Ada was, she's an artificial intelligence. She was first put in a body, then she went into the framework, then she came out into a different body. So there's no reason you can't bring another artificial intelligence out and put it into a body.
But here's the real true question. Can you body swap? Like, let's say that Coulson and May were like, we want to switch. Can they go in the framework and come back out in each other's body?
That would be a Freaky Friday Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But you know, every sci-fi show has done that episode where they do the body swap. I know Futurama did one. Stargate did one. Buffy did one, maybe.
Does this mean we have to bring Lindsay Lohan into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, I think it means we've got to bring Samantha Carter into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sam, that'd be so cool, Sam.
You know what we could do? We could take it another step where we end up just merging people together, like in the Voyager episode where there was Tuvix. Would not be amazing? Two of our favorite characters blended together.
See, I had a whole problem with Tuvix because the actor, right? He was in multiple versions of Star Trek. So how did they deal with that in the canon? I forget. They said something in the convention circuit about that. Because he was on TNG, he was on Voyager, he was in a lot.
No, not Tuvok, Tuvix.
I know.
The one where Neelix and Tuvok.
Right, but okay, never mind. You're not going to go down that road with me right now, are you? Let's stick with Marvel, let's stick with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and let's talk about Our Fair Lady Simmons, which, Haley, can I have a little Lauren for me right now?
Science, baby!
Simmons kills Fitz's dad!
He had it coming.
He did.
Is that science daddy?
That's Nazi poppy.
He totally had it coming, you're right.
So Alistair was just a bad guy, and he was the one thing in Fitz's life that transformed him to do this. But now we see at the end where Fitz has jumped through the Stargate molten lava portal and back into the real world, and all of a sudden he is dealing with everything that he did, including killing the Patriot, including everything that he can't live with himself. And this is a second broken Fitz, because Fitz has been broken once before, but now he thinks that this is his natural state and he has to deal with it, and the team's got to deal with him too. This is going to be an issue, as we have all said all along. How do you think it's going to play out, Mr. Steven?
Yeah, he was crushed, and I think his words were, "I think I'm a bad person." And yeah, you can only imagine what that would be like. Especially if we find out that these people can be unloaded, right? Like, that's a huge other element and why that crossed my mind. If we can find out that these constructs can be unloaded, then yeah, there is merit to what he did. Within a world, he killed actual beings, right? And that's crazy that he has to deal with that, even though it was a choice of his own. But as Radcliffe said a couple episodes ago, was everybody could end up this way with the right circumstances in their life. And that's the logic they're going with in this TV series. And it's really no fault of his own, but that's hard.
And we kind of saw the reverse of that with Ward. Like, he did become a bad person because of a lot of bad circumstances beyond his control. And when he was put in a different situation with more positive influences on them, he became a different person.
Yes.
So along those same lines, Batty, which is Dr. Radcliffe, for those that don't know, I think he has successfully, maybe not, completed a redemption arc just by what he did at the end. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, he saved Fitz.
Oh, I agree 100%. He nailed it. And, you know, where he really nailed it to me was his last words to Fitz. As he's pushing him off the edge, he's saying, "This is my fault. I didn't mean this." And he was trying to plant the seed so that when Fitz woke up, that he hopefully could cope with this. Because you remember, Radcliffe's the only person up until this moment who has come back from the framework, who has woken up from the framework that we've seen within the show. And so he knows what it's like to wake up.
It was interesting seeing the framework or the matrix in actual action, because once the first body went through, it did it not look like a Stargate portal? It looked like a Stargate portal to me.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Once the first body went through, you had the entire matrix go because it was trying to deal with the exit of a main character.
I'm wondering if May is going to be the one that helps Fitz process the things that he's done, because she's someone who's done some dark stuff over the course of her career and kind of come back from it. And those are two characters we haven't seen interact a lot, is May and Fitz. So that could be interesting if there's a follow-up season to this.
And she had a dark issue to deal with in the Matrix as well, with the girl from Bahrain and what had happened afterwards. And she was a central part of the whole thing. So she has to deal with it all. Although it was kind of cute. She's like, "Oh, Coulson, it was just so cute the way that you were acting."
That moment, though, I gotta say, the ending to me was the highlight of this episode. It was so well done. So well done. And it was that the pacing was there, seeing Coulson go through first, end up waiting there for May. May gasps, she comes, and we got all this interspersed stuff between Simmons and Daisy on the other plane, and it took me a minute to remember, oh yeah, they're on another plane, right? Like, it was just so well done, and you just feel them getting their bearings as they're waking up, processing all of this fake life, but at the same time, clearly knowing exactly where they are. The moment they left, there's no, like, re-remember stuff. They just instantly know, as you can tell, as soon as they wake up, they instantly have their own life plus the framework life.
It was instantaneous, but it was a slow acknowledgement. Like, if 5 seconds or so, maybe 10, definitely more than 3 of them realizing where they were. And of course, it's like waking from a dead sleep and you don't know where you are, like a strange hotel room or something like that. You don't know anything about that right now, Stephen. So it's like doing that and then coming to realization that you are you and not who you were dreaming about. So it does take a little bit of time, but yeah, it is instantaneous that they know who they are. But also, unlike a dream, their memory of what happened stays with them.
Yeah, it was crazy. And to see them also processing that, okay, now we've got this Ada who's next to us, seeing that she's right there and having to take care of her, fighting the clock. It was just a really well-paced last couple scenes there.
It was. I think this last pot of episodes has been amazing. And a little bit of that is because I like the world building that goes on. So we're seeing a lot of the history of the series coming to a head in these final pod of episodes. So let's talk about, we brought it up a couple of times. Let's talk about the real world. Let's talk about the bus and what's going on with the bus. We see Yo-Yo for the first time. We see Simmons and Daisy wake up on the plane, but we also see Ivanov, who's coming after him and coming after him hard once they decloak.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's the I call it the bus for those first time listeners. We haven't really shifted into Zephyr 1. We're in the bus. Oh, and 10 days is all the power that they have without refueling. 10 days. How do they stay up in the air so much? Like, Mac and Coulson were making records at the beginning of the season, and all they got is 10 days because they got this Matrix running on board.
They have to power that whole Matrix thing, and it's using a lot of juice. It's powering an entire artificial world.
I got a suggestion. Let's like put solar panels on top of the plane that's in the air all the time and facing the sun. Maybe, just saying.
Hindsight's 2020.
Remember, this whole plan was kind of slapped together at the last minute. It's not like they had a lot of forethought.
I'm not even talking about this plan.
Maybe it wasn't even totally fueled when they took off. Like, we don't know.
That's a good point. The other thing too to remember is that we know that the base is blown up now too, so who knows, maybe there's some form of need tie into that, right? Like, you know, the whole what we knew of SHIELD is gone because the LMDs blew it up.
Where's Iron Man? Can't he just fly up there and save him?
No, he blew up all his suits, didn't he?
he always keeps one, never gets rid of all of them.
What I really liked though about Zephyr 1 was that we got to see the extent that they were going to protect Simmons and Daisy, right? You saw them. They had no heat. They were cold. They knew as soon as they decloaked, they're going to start to get attacked, right? Like, it was just showing how committed these three people were to keeping Daisy and Simmons safe.
And now we have a dual storyline because we have Mac left in the Matrix. We have Ada and Fitz. Okay, let's go. I said let's delay this discussion. What the heck happened to them? Are they back in the framework or did they transport somewhere in the real world?
She's I Dream of Genie. That genie? Boop.
Yeah, I think they're somewhere in the real world. Because you can't take Fitz's physical body into the framework.
Yeah, I agree with Haley, actually. I think that this is something that she's obviously made her body and she knows about the Darkhold, so she's integrated some form of element into her body.
Or she's taking them to like another plane or dimension or whatever, because, you know, magic.
Well, she probably tied in some form of inhuman into it.
That's possible too. Oh, yeah, because the guy we kept calling Lockjaw, Gordon, right? Was that his name? The guy with no eyes?
Yeah.
Yes. That was his power, basically. I don't remember what the effect for that looked like. I'm trying to remember now if it was similar or not.
I forgot about that.
It was small and contained. I remember that. It wasn't a big, huge explosion. Which I feel actually we got kind of gypped about Daisy's second pterogenesis too, by the way.
Well, it's like, you know, we've seen this before. We got things to do. Let's move on.
But that's so cool. The pterogenesis, it was one of the coolest scenes in the entire series was Daisy's pterogenesis, where she's just still doing the arch back and boom.
Well, go rewatch that scene then.
Okay, if you insist.
You would have just wanted them to edit that in, SP?
No, I wanted to see it from a different viewpoint.
And in like slow motion.
Definitely slow motion. The high speed cameras. It's just with the hair flopping around and stuff. It's, yes.
Need a minute?
I do. You know, I saw her in person at C2E2 last year, and she's just as vivacious in person as she is on screen. The whole Asian pop star thing really did her well in her charisma. That's for sure. All right. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got, oh, by the way, I just have to say I was semi-right. I was kind of right. The Darkhold was an exit out, but it wasn't the back door that they were looking for. So I was half right. Darkhold did come into play.
I got to say, I don't know that I agree with you on that.
Come on, Steven.
It has nothing to do with the exit. That's just like they mentioned the Darkhold.
The back door was something that was programmed in.
Yeah.
I admitted it. It was nothing to do with the back door, but it was a way out. And the Darkhold came in as a way out.
No, it wasn't.
That's like saying, I once mentioned Trip. I totally called him coming back because I once mentioned Trip.
Oh, by the way, where is Mockingbird?
The Darkhold is what they used to make her body. It didn't have anything to do with her coming out, though.
Yeah.
Coming out of the closet?
No. It's a different song.
Okay, speaking of her coming off, how about that gratuitous back shot there that they put in? Like, that was a little bit cliche.
Well, because that's as much nudity as they're allowed to show on TV.
They're in the 10 o'clock slot now. That's not true.
It's still broadcast television, which means you can do, like, some tasteful side boob and some butts, and that's it.
But I remember, what was it? Something blue cop show, whatever? You had that dude's butt, and that was the big deal?
Yep. I always remember there was an episode of Third Watch where two characters end up in a shower together and there's some very strategically placed hands.
Or towels or towel racks or
no,
whatever.
Just hands. That's what they used.
Okay, so I got a question. After she, you know, finds a robe sitting around and puts the robe on and comes over, she calls Fitz, right? Ada calls Fitz. And Fitz goes over. Do you think he's going over out of a sense of, like, love? Because, you know, obviously he's got the memories of the framework.
Yes.
Or was he planning on on doing something with her?
No, it was a total attraction. Because he called her Ophelia.
Yeah, I don't think it was love, but it was, I don't know, kind of love. But he was just so dazed and damaged in that moment coming out of the framework that it was like, I need something to hold on to. And, oh, here's this woman that I know and trust and love. And so he goes to her in that moment and bad things happen. Like, I think if Simmons had been there, it wouldn't have happened.
So the framework's overpowering his real thought.
It's not overpowering. There are his real thoughts from when he was in there. He still has those feelings. And by the way, Steven, I know your affliction for gear. So if a beautiful robot happened to turn into a beautiful woman, you would be smitten by her, too.
Don't pan the camera to the right now, okay? All I'm going to say is don't pan it to the right.
Well, you control the camera, so if you pan right, it's your own fault.
Well, you have to look at who was with him at that time. It was Coulson and it was May. And those are not the people that he has the most trust in. Like, if it had been, you know, Mac or Simmons or Daisy, I think it would have been a different situation. Because those people are more, you know, his support and the people he trusts. Like, he trusts May and Coulson, but it's not the same kind of relationship that he has with the others. And I don't think that they were enough to anchor him in that moment.
But I guess the problem I have is he comes out and he immediately starts to regret what he's done. Like, he immediately regrets all of the things that he's done, which to me shows that his true side really is taking over. And then he sees her and he goes over. Like, I want to say that he was actually wanting to confront the situation, but never got the chance to. Like, I don't know that I buy that he was attracted to her, so to speak, in that sense. I think he was going over because he realized, basically, that she manipulated him into doing these bad things, and I think he wanted to confront her. but never got the chance.
No, because they were transported away. So let's do a little bit of prognostication. Where were they transported to? Haley?
That Russian boat. Or wait, are they on the Russian boat?
The submarine? Yeah, they are on the submarine.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Some penthouse then. Maybe Radcliffe's old place.
The Triskelion?
Didn't that get blown up?
It did. I was trying to trick you. They would be back in the framework if they did the Triskelion. So, Steven, where do you think they are?
I don't think it's anywhere of notable. I think that they went somewhere, and the next time we see them, they're going to be like in a hotel or some bunkers.
Or she's got like some sort of lab somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything notable.
All right. A red herring, as it were. Steven, you got anything else that we haven't covered for the episode?
Oh, yes. One last thing. It broke my heart in weird ways. Seeing Fitz put the gun to Simmons' head, that was like, to me, the ultimate crescendo to that end. And her willing to chance him shooting her to not have to say that she doesn't care about him. It was amazingly done. And just that relationship was just so hardened in that moment.
Yeah, it was good. And then he would have pulled the trigger had he not been interrupted by Batty, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe he would have, yes.
And then there would have been no saving Fitz.
And I think that that's one of the reasons why he was so broken when he came out. Because one of the last things he remembers is putting a gun to Simmons' head and about to pull the trigger. Because he knows he would have pulled the trigger. And I think that's one of the biggest things coming out of there that's going to have really, really messed him up.
He's a broken baby, that's for sure. And I did enjoy, by the way, both Coulson and Simmons were dying, and that's how they had to go through the Stargate. And I did enjoy seeing them at that point and then surviving on the other end, both from different places, because Simmons popped out on the bus and Coulson popped out on the submarine. So it was interesting how that went. So, Haley, any last thoughts before we start wrapping this up?
Yeah, first was when Sky and Hope were doing the butt jokes. That was great.
The money maker. Yeah, that was great.
Just another little jab, like, we're going to take this child from you. Ha ha ha. And for most of the episode, I thought what was going to happen is she was going to tell Mac, yeah, bring your daughter. We're going to get you guys out of here. We're going to get you back into the real world. And she was going to convince him to walk through that back door with his daughter, and he was going to come out the other side alone. And, you know, never trust her again. I thought that's where this episode was heading.
It still can. I mean, because he's back with Hope, right?
Right, except now he knows. Like, he knows that his daughter isn't real. So he wouldn't be tricked into going through the way he could have been.
If anybody pops out on the other side that's a construct, it would be nice to have Hope so to make Mac together again. But then he has to deal with his ex and explain that. So I think you guys are right. I think Yo-Yo is going to end up in the Matrix. Anything else, Haley?
Nope, that was it.
Any quotes this week?
Nope.
All right, so I've got a couple in the notes. There was the Coulson quote about he crafted a lot of soap to stay home.
He also said something about 10th graders.
Because they were talking about teaching 10th graders. You're not supposed to hide from 10th graders, and I don't remember the exact quote there, but it was pretty good. And then he also said, as Steven alluded to in the beginning, this is oddly familiar when he was dying.
Oh, Trip, when he was talking to, I don't remember if he was talking to Simmons or Daisy, but he was like, so we hooked up, right? Oh, so it was me and that other one? No, the other one.
Come on, help me out here. Somebody hooked up. Yep.
Poor Trip.
I am looking forward to the penultimate season 4 episode next week, but in the meantime, let's talk about the shawarma, the stinger for the episode. What was it, Steven?
It was a look ahead at the future. There was no stinger.
Yeah, it was. It was the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 scene, trailer, whatever you want to call it, as an exclusive look at the film, which is what we're going to be talking about next time. And then there was also a preview for next week. It wasn't a stinger. It was a preview. So you saw the sub going down. You saw a variety of different things. I won't ruin it for you. I won't spoil it for you if you haven't seen it yet. So go ahead, check that out. But the Guardians of the Galaxy scenes were amazing. And Steven, you saw them, right?
I did see them, and I am so excited for this. I was excited for it before. They really didn't give us much more again, but yet still gave us enough that we just are needing to change our pants everywhere.
So, Stephen, let me ask you this. You don't always see the newest released geeky movies the weekend that come out. When are you going to see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
I would have seen it this weekend. The problem is, if you're not watching the video side of things, I am away this week. So I might have to do family stuff this weekend. Otherwise, it would have been this weekend because it is absolutely one of my most anticipated, excited movies of the recent few years.
So, Haley, I know the question is not when you're going to see this, but how many times are you going to see this in this weekend?
I'm not sure because I'm doing a May the 4th be with you 5K this weekend. So I don't know how many times I'll be able to fit it in. I know I'm seeing it probably Friday night. I don't know if I'll get to see it again Saturday night or not.
Okay. So for those that don't know, what we've done here is we're sliding in a special edition.
We're just slipping it in between the regular ones.
That's right. On Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time frame. So that's like 10 p.m. Pacific. And we will be live at Geeks.live at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, May the 7th. So that's it for this episode. It was really good. Like I said, really looking forward to the last two episodes of the series, of the season. So, Steven, you're not always on this show. So what's your prognostication? Is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going to be renewed for a season 5?
I gotta say, no. I had a hope up until pretty much this week that it was going to be renewed on the technicality that ABC isn't doing well. But we haven't heard anything yet. I think it's done.
All right. Lauren, myself, and Haley have all given our thoughts, which is basically combined into we think it's going to be a truncated final season just because ABC doesn't have anything else out there to fit it in. But we'll see.
I kind of think they're starting that Inhumans series next season. Like, I don't know if their network can really support having two Marvel television shows running on it. With all the other stuff that's happening on Netflix and Freeform and Hulu.
No, Marvel's got a good thing going on Netflix. They do not have a good thing going on ABC. And it's heart-wrenching because this is supposed to be where you the hook the kids in at the prime time, the 8 o'clock Eastern time, prime time slot. But we're not there anymore. We're at 10 o'clock. So I just think its purpose is not there anymore. But that's just me.
Let me make it clear. I hope that they come back, but I just think when we look at the Agent Carter handling, I don't think they're afraid to just pull the plug. And I think that this is, sadly, even though it's got more seasons, I think it's going to fall into the same thing. If they don't see the numbers, they're just going to say, nope, not coming back. And it's not going. They're not even going to get a truncated. I thought maybe a truncated up until this basically week where we haven't heard anything yet.
All right. So, listener, if you have an idea, if you have a voice that you want to be heard about whether this series will be renewed for a season 5 or not, go ahead and contact us at all the ways, including our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. You can tweet me at Stargate Pioneer or you can email me, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to move on to the next segment.
So we're kind of skipping the news this week and doing news feedback, since you guys sent us all the news we have that's fit to print. But starting off, Christy, a Donna girl on Twitter, she shared this image that's kind of been going around this week. It's going to be May, and it's not Justin Timberlake, it's Agent Melinda May. So she said, step aside Timberlake, tomorrow it's going to be Melinda May, which got retweeted a bunch because she shared that with Ming-Na Wen, and Ming-Na Wen shared it with the world. So that was very exciting for all of us.
Well done, Christy. And since you tagged at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the Twitter account for this podcast, our phones did blow up over the last couple of days, too. So bravo for blowing up our phones. Bravo. And well done, I might say, ma'am. Well done.
By the way, I should take a moment here to make sure everybody knows that on SP's phone, he has Twitter logged in not only to his personal account, but Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gunna Geek and Starling Tribune. So if you really, really wanted to bug him, just send something that's going to go viral and tag all of those in there, and he's going to get all of these notifications at one time.
I will delete Twitter from my phone if that ever happens.
He's lying, because it's his only tethered to the internet anymore that now that Facebook booted him.
I'd go without it for that moment of time. About 24 hours is really what it lasts.
Before you started getting the shakes.
That's right.
We've talked a little bit about renewal prospects, but Johnny, Born to Eat Bacon on Twitter, said, keep hope alive. Wait, who is this hope anyway? Regardless, read on. And he shared a link about some of the other shows in 2017 that we might not be seeing another season of.
Yeah, this was an IGN story that I basically used as my backbone for my discussion this week on Gonna Geek, the official podcast of the GunnaGeek.com network, found at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Anyway, I use this article as a backbone, and all the articles out there are wavering on whether Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be renewed or not, and it's all based on the fact that this is an ABC-owned property, it's a Marvel-owned property, it's a Disney-owned property, and ABC doesn't have that many good shows left, so they have a lot of blank spots to fill, and that's what our discussion was before. We just don't know or not. But as at Born to Eat Bacon points out, keep hope alive. So if you really want this show to stay on, I would hammer ABC with tweets. I would call them. I would send letters. I would try to get them to do it. And get your friends to watch the last two episodes to try to get the ratings up. So
at Born to Eat Bacon also shared the new Inhumans poster that's been released with us, which is it. Basically just says Inhumans. It's kind of a logo. We don't have really any information on that yet.
So, Steven, you design logos. So when you look at this logo, is this something that is Steven approved?
Everything that Marvel does is Steven approved.
Have you finished watching Iron Fist yet?
First off, I don't design logos. I make logos. I think that the designers deserve more credit than me. When I look at this Inhumans logo, the thing that stands out to me is, like, they took the Inhumans text that we saw, like, 5 years ago, and I think they added a line to it, and they added a texture or a transparency that's showing me some form of image hidden behind it, but isn't it, like, basically the same Inhumans logo that we saw?
Well, yeah, because it basically looks like the ones they've put on comics and stuff in the past.
I'm kind of liking that line because it's like a claw.
It's a good line.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it could have been more myself, but again, Marvel gets full credit for me all the time because Marvel is the best ever. Ding!
Well, and Dominga, moving away from the TV a little bit, shared with us that Marvel comics are coming to Comixology Unlimited. And we had a big, long discussion about this before the cast, where we tried to explain exactly what this announcement means. So Marvel right now has their own subscription service called Marvel Unlimited, and it's got all of the back catalog that they still have the rights to, which is not all the stuff that they've had the rights to before. So even if you get this, you don't have access to all their stuff. And then their new stuff comes on there with a little bit of a delay. I'm not sure what that is at this time, but that's Marvel Unlimited. This is Marvel coming to Comixology Unlimited, which is a separate subscription service that Comixology offers. And from what I've heard, their catalog leaves a little to be desired. They have a lot of first issues of stuff and not a lot of full runs of stuff. The Marvel stuff in particular, they have 52 series, I think, but it's a lot of like first issues or first 12 issues, short run kind of stuff. So they still want you to buy individual issues from them.
I've tried both Comixology Unlimited and Marvel Unlimited, and be honest, I just don't read enough to warrant the Unlimited. So if I'm going to read an issue, I will just buy the issue or the trade or whatever. And if you do read a lot, though, these unlimited plans are great to check out to see if they're for you. You can cancel them after a couple of months or 1 month if you don't like them. But I would encourage you to check it out, Comixology or Marvel Unlimited, and see if it's for you.
So if you've tried it, do they have a decent selection of DC stuff?
Well, they have more DC stuff than Marvel Unlimited.
Well, yeah.
I know with Comixology Unlimited, you can actually go in and filter down when you're searching to see what titles are part of the program. And there is a lot of stuff. I am far behind with The Walking Dead. And I went to go catch up and I noticed that a lot of what I need to catch up on was listed on there. Now, here's the problem with me. I'm Canadian and I can't get it in Canada.
Can I quote you on that? I can't get it in Canada?
Yes, you can.
For those audio listeners, he just pointed at his ring finger. And that was total innuendo for those that didn't pick that up. So there you go. But yeah, I prefer Comixology to Marvel Unlimited just because I use Comixology for all my purchases, really. All the Star Wars stuff that has come out, I've done on Comixology. So if I'm going to choose one or the other, I'm going to do it. And let's face it, with all the entertainment nickels and dimes that are coming our way of, you got to have Netflix, you got to have Hulu, you got to have Amazon Prime, and now all the cable things where you're buying channels individually, like CBS All Access. Like, no, I just want one place to get my stuff. And for that, Comixology is it for me.
Yep. Well, at Mr. Paracletes asked, what are the odds we surprise see or hear about Deathlok before season's end?
I don't know. It's a good question. For me, I think that we're not seeing Deathlok at all.
There are a few characters that we're just not going to see. Like Mockingbird, it would be nice. Bobby, it would be nice to be back. They're not going to be back. Deathlok, probably not, because I haven't heard anything about his return or not. There's just too many. I mean, of course, Bill Paxton's not coming back because he can't. Unfortunately, R.I.P. Bill Paxton. And you're just going to have some things that you're not going to make it all the way through to the end. I think they've done an amazing job with the framework and bringing back as many people as they have. So for that, kudos. Now, if they could only bring back Nick Fury, that would be cool.
It could be interesting to see a man in a half robot body fighting a robot in a magic human body.
Sold me.
Yeah, I'm liking that, especially if the robot is sexy. Mm-hmm.
Deathlok is sexy.
I think they're both sexy.
But in all seriousness, though, that's why I'm not sure that we're, unless it is the payoff of the season, I think we would have seen that actor come back pre-Deathlok in the framework.
Yeah, I think we would have seen him at this point if we were going to see him this season.
But your idea, though, of it being like the go-to moment, like the way that they win, bringing him in, that would be the only thing that I would think why we would see him. Aside from that, I don't think we're going to see him in a bit role.
Yeah, I think we would have heard. I think there would have been an announcement like, J. August Richards coming back to do an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., especially with the ratings.
It would just be for fun, I think, for him, mm-hmm. really.
Well, as you all know, Lauren does the live tweeting for the episodes. And on our Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. account, she said, "Aw, Trip, disappointed he has not hooked up with the ladies of S.H.I.E.L.D." And at Mr. Paracletes replied, "You're saying Agent Hand didn't give him the job at S.H.I.E.L.D.? I'll let myself out."
Talk about innuendo. Well done, Mr. Paracletes. Well done. Thank you for that.
And at Kodiak GWC shared with us the new Defenders poster.
Oh, it was the actual trailer. It was a 2-minute trailer.
Okay.
From Netflix, and it was amazing. I watched it right before we went on the air here. It was the first opportunity I had to actually see or hear, watch the trailer. And I'm so psyched about the Defenders. It is unbelievable. It makes me want to get through Luke Cage and suffer through Iron Fist in order to really watch the Defenders as soon as I can. So this is going to give me some impetus to do that. And as everybody knows, I'm only halfway through Luke Cage right now. So I'm a little bit behind, but at least I'm ahead of where Steven is.
What's Netflix?
It's this thing that sucks in Canada.
Hey, it's gotten a lot better, and at least we get the Netflix originals, which is...
Now you get all of the seasons of Corner Gas.
Exactly. It was only seasons 1 and 2, the first 10 years of Netflix.
Is there a special Canadian edit of the Netflix shows where they add sorry in, like, every 10 minutes? Just people apologizing a lot more?
That's not part of the American version. No, I honestly haven't had a chance yet, like, to watch these, because I always find... The thing with me is I got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, so I have been warned many times that I need to watch this. And with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, I find myself going to bed ridiculously early compared to how I used to be. So one of these days, maybe this summer, I'm going to have to just like make the commitment, stay up, quit my job, maybe lose my job because of it just to watch.
Well, you can watch it at work.
It's the summer of Steven.
You can download it to your phone.
No, I'm sure the 2-year-old and the 4-year-old would love Jessica Jones.
Can I quote you on that, Haley?
This advice is not sanctioned by Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the GunnaGeek.com network.
I think Lauren would back me up on this. In more streaming service news about Marvel shows, it has been officially announced, thanks Born to Eat Bacon, or not Born to Eat Bacon, yes, Born to Eat Bacon for sharing this with us. It has been officially announced now that Hulu is going to have Marvel's Runaways, which had been, it had been discussed, we knew they had a pilot, but it's official, they picked up the show to go to series.
Yeah, and it's on Hulu, and it is not on Freeform or any of the cable networks. It's on Hulu, so we're going to get The Runaways, and Lauren is screaming wherever she is right now.
I thought it was odd that they've got it on different streaming services.
That was my thoughts on it, too, and I understand why, because Netflix is going to have to buy into it, right? They need to make sure it's going to be successful, like, and maybe they didn't feel that way, that it fit into what they wanted to do. So maybe they passed on it. Or maybe Marvel's just trying to diversify a little bit so that Netflix cannot be so greedy or something like that. So it does not surprise me that it's on multiple streaming services. What will be interesting to me is to see how it does on another streaming service, because Netflix, so many people have Netflix. So it's so easy for people to just get attached to these series. And it doesn't necessarily even need to be a Marvel series, just these Netflix originals. So many people have Netflix that it makes it really easy. And I don't know. Do as many people have Hulu? I'm not sure. I don't know that I can get a Hulu in Canada.
I think this is just Marvel with its tentacles out, seeing what's going to work and what's not. I think they hit a home run, a Grand Slam home run, actually, on Netflix. And they haven't really anywhere else other than the theaters. So we'll just see if they strike gold again like they did with Netflix. I don't think they will, because of the limitations of Hulu. Not everybody has it, even in the countries that it's available. So we'll just figure that out as we go along.
Yeah, I've had Hulu, I think, 3 or 4 times now, and I always end up canceling it after a couple of months.
There is one last feedback that I want to talk about, and it's from our YouTube channel with our episode number 171. And William DeMarco, in all caps, punctuated in between each word, says, "Where on God's green earth are Bobby, aka Mockingbird, and Lance Hunter?" Yes, it would be nice to see them around. They are around. They're just hiding. What was their series going to be called, by the way?
Marvel's Most Wanted.
Yeah, they're most wanted right now, so that's why we're not seeing them. They're wanted.
Do you think that they're scheduled to come back? Because remember, we've speculated that this entire back half of the season is assumed to have been made because they think that they're going to get canceled.
I don't know. I think we would have heard if they were going to come back by now. I don't think so. If there's a season 5, we might see them, but it depends on if they're available or not. But Marvel's Most Wanted didn't happen.
We talked about this at the time. Their farewell episode was so good that it would be a shame to undercut that by bringing them back.
It's true.
Yeah.
Haley for the win.
I don't know. I don't put anything past anybody who thinks that their series is going to conclude.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much for the feedback. We really appreciate you reaching out to us and sending us all that love on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Keep it on up. And don't forget, we do have the voicemail line. We do have email. And we would love an iTunes review here and there. That would be awesome if you could give us a 5-star review. Doesn't really mean anything other than it makes us feel good. It makes Haley feel good. She needs to feel good. Right, Haley?
Yep.
All right. It's time to skip this one out. Next time, in a very special episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Yeah, that's right, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It comes out in the theaters this weekend, and don't forget, Free Comic Book Day is also Saturday, May 6th. Hopefully you will be able to hear a live version of this beforehand, but I was just talking to the comic book guys today as I ran by to get my pull list, and they were getting all psyched up about everybody having to work on Saturday. So that was a little bit sarcastic, but they do enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. They have people that dress up and do stuff. So find your local comic book store and go do that. By the way, you can always find our live streams at www.geeks.live. It's you, Haley.
I know. I've tried to get to the part of the page. All right. You can check out our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can leave them not me, a voicemail at 844-THE-BOSS-1. That's 844-843-2871. Actually, send them a voicemail telling them how much you miss Lauren and how much you dislike me. I encourage you to do that.
Once again, Stephen Wrongdrew, or also the henchman, a.k.a. Bob's assistant. We do have a Facebook page. I say we, and it's really Lauren and Haley. That's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast on Facebook.
We have a Twitter handle, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We have a Tumblr, which is legendsofshield.tumblr.com.
And finally, don't forget about our wonderful video companions on YouTube. That's youtube.com/goodageek, which you can not only find this show, but all the great video companions on the goodageek.com network. So it's been a great show. Thank you very much, Stephen, for stepping in for Lauren. Lauren, we hope to see you back next week. And that's all I got. See you guys next week. Haley?
Thank you to everyone that gave us news this week on Twitter. We would have had no news if not for you. So thank you very much for that. And thank you to everyone that participated in our live tweeting with Lauren. I know she loves that. If it's just her by herself, she'll enjoy it just as much. But your feedback means a lot to all of us. And also thank you to William DeMarco for commenting on our YouTube video.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thank you very much for having me on here today. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
We enjoyed filling the third seat. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm unimportant.
See you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pawn5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Oh, did I tell you? I actually have to pull the engine out of the car. I have to dismantle, completely take the engine apart to get to, because it's on the lower, the noise is coming from a rocker pin, most likely, that is underneath the piston.
That sucks.
So I literally have to unbolt everything from the engine. I got to pull the engine out of the car. I have to dismantle the interior of the engine just to get to that one frickin' part. And then I got to slap it all back together. And then when I'm doing that, I might as well change some parts out. And I have to check.
So you're still going to fix it?
Yeah.
I thought you said you weren't sure if you were going to. That's the only reason I asked.
Well, I got bolstered by a worker friend of mine, likes to do mechanical stuff. And this is, for him, this is a big adventure, because it's like, oh, we get to tear apart an engine. And I'm like, yeah, unfortunately, we get to tear apart an engine. And he's like, I don't care. It's not my car. I don't own it. And now I'm like, well, either I sell it for ridiculously low or I actually fix it. So I can have available when another car goes down, which is going to happen. Let's just face it. It's going to happen.
Which vehicle was that?
This is my son's old car, the Scion, the 2007 Scion TC.
That sucks.
So it's a 10-year-old car. But other than that, I still have to do the shocks, the brakes, the spark plugs will be done when I change out the engine. But other than that, it's a pretty good car. And I'm just, I don't know. We could have bought a whole new car for the amount that we spent fixing the damn thing, which is why I just said I give up and I went out to buy a new car today.
Did you buy?
My wife went out and test drove a car from a friend who owns a dealership. And interestingly enough, we were looking at the car when my other daughter was buying her replacement vehicle, and it was $18,000. And just to move it off of the lot, she reduced the price. The friend that's a dealer had reduced the price down to $12,800. So I'm saving over $5,000 of That's the awesome. Same car that we looked at a month ago.
It's good savings.
I wouldn't have bought it at that price. I will buy it at this price. And literally that day that I checked her lot, she had lowered the price of the vehicle. So she thought that I was watching this vehicle like a hawk, and that as soon as she lowered the price, I'm like, hey, well, how much is that car? So my wife filled her in on exactly what had happened. And she's like, man. Oh. And we wouldn't have bought it at the $18,000. Who was I watching? I was watching ESPN, Mike and Mike in the morning, right? ESPN2. And they've got those RE20s or RE27s. And Greenberg just literally manhandles the microphone. And you can't
hear a thing. I don't know how they do
it.
I'm not sure how they do it. You know who else is generally able to do it?
Zarian.
I can't figure it out. I've seen it a few times on other people too. I don't know. I don't get it. By the way, aren't you glad that I even happened to bring a Marvel t-shirt, related t-shirt?
You thought ahead.
I did, because I decided that I should bring one DC related and one Marvel related, because you never know. And of course, the Suicide Squad one. Of course, I was going to wear that.
I guess.
Someone gifted that to me for Christmas, I think. It might have been my birthday.
A lot of people are fans of it. This is why I have a checklist. I'm too damn old. Hey, Haley!
Hello, Haley.
What's that?
My name is Lauren. I'm slightly different now.
The beard is a little fuller than I remember.
How are you?
Good. Good day. Hulu Live is finally here.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know
that.
They
launched it without Roku apps available.
Seriously?
Yeah. How stupid. Like, you can't get it on Roku. You can't get it on Fire Sticks. You can't get it on Samsung TV.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought that.
How can you get it? Just on the PC?
Also, no web streaming. No. You can get it on
the
Android.
It's there, but you cannot get it at all.
Android, iOS, Apple TV, and Xbox, I think.
I even brought my travel router, which is amazing, by the way. If you ever go to a hotel room and you just get one of these travel routers and then hook it up, and then normally hotel Wi-Fi shuts off after like three devices. Well, if the only device connected is this router, mm-hmm. then you can connect hundreds of devices. So if you're sharing the hotel room with like 10 people.
I've heard of these. I don't travel enough for it to be an issue. And when I do travel, it's usually just, you know, I only have three devices. But
if you're sharing the room with other people,
right,
that's where it comes in. Or if you're a family like me and mm-hmm. everybody's got five devices, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the Wi-Fi doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. Because
I've heard it makes it good if you happen to bring along a device like a Roku stick or something, too, because you don't have to worry about like the hotel's authentication.
I was thinking about bringing my Roku device. I was also thinking about bringing an Xbox, but I was flying and I was heavy anyway. But mm-hmm. if I drive somewhere in the future and I just know I'm going to have 3 or 4 hours to chill out, which never happens, I'll bring an Xbox and play some Mass Effect. By the way, there will be no video gaming for the next 3, 4, 6 months for SP because my son's car has a noise from the bottom of cylinder 4.
Is that a good thing?
That means I have to literally disconnect all the crap from the engine, lift the engine out of the car, take it apart, and get to the bottom of the cylinder to change out the rocker pin and anything else that might be destroyed in there, and then put it all back together with all the tolerances and remembering where all the things plug into.
You know what I'm thinking is, he's an adult now. He could totes do that himself. Well, get him some YouTube videos.
See, he's not in this state. He's in North Carolina. The car is here.
Sounds like a fun project for him to work on when he comes home for the summer.
Okay, well, whatever. Here's the other deal.
Just FedEx him the car.
Is that older boyfriend number one wants to be a diesel mechanic. He wants to go to diesel mechanic school. So I applaud that. Yay. You've figured out what you want to do in life and you want to go and do it. This is a great opportunity, a wonderful learning opportunity to figure out what an engine actually looks like from the inside. It's not a diesel engine, but close enough.
You know, engines are engines.
They all have pistons. One might have a glow plug, one might have a spark plug, one's on diesel, one's on gas, but they all have generators or alternators, and it's the basic concept is there. They all have transmissions that you have to hook up. So, I'm thinking this is a good thing, just so he gets...
Parts are part, which is the speech my gym teacher gave us all in fifth grade.
The school district here can't afford the water, so they encourage you not to take showers.
Oh.
Well,
no, I'm joking.
They told us to take showers. I don't think many people actually did. And the boys came up all wearing the exact same cologne.
Yes.
And wearing the amount that fifth and sixth grade boys wear, which is like half a bottle.
It's weirdly not... It is weirdly not a thing here. I can say I went through my entire high school without showering once at the gym.
Ew.
It is weirdly not a thing here.
Did you have gym like the last period of the day?
I don't remember. I did everything I could to get out of gym, okay?
So you're like break over on American Pie or whatever. You got to go home to shower. You can't shower in the school.
The school gym locker rooms were a good place to get MRSA. Seriously, we had a breakout of MRSA from our gym locker rooms.
Wow.
My gym at work is the same way. A couple of years ago, they posted signs everywhere and it kind of went away. But somehow, in the last week, the bathrooms are, of course, conjoined with the locker room. It's all one big area, right? It's walls and privacy, whatever, but it's still all one big area. For the last week, somebody has had something up their rear end that has died 10 times each hour. Every time I go down there, it's like, oh my, I can't. Oh. And then I notice other people putting their hand over their face and I'm like, ah, no, I don't need this. I need to get a membership at another place. Because that place is just sucking.
Okay, really quick. I just got this news article here that says that Bombay Sapphire Gin has been recalled across Canada for containing too much alcohol. The gin's alcohol content was accidentally 77% as opposed to the 40% labeled on the bottle.
So it's basically like
a huge spike in sales.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody, I'm sure instantly it's all off the shelf. Hopefully this is it. Am I mirrored? I'm not, right?
I can read your Deadpool shirt.
Unless your t-shirt is printed backwards.
Oh my god, it is!
I am so worried that they're gonna f*** up Wonder Woman.
They already have. They've already admitted it.
From what I hear, they did.
They're not even promoting it.
Yeah. But no,
that's,
I mean, like,
annoying. I was so excited for the movie when I saw the information or saw the previews and the teasers and stuff.
But from what I heard, like, you saw the good parts of the movie in the trailers. And I don't know if they ended up doing this, but they had at the time been talking about making it more of a Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
Making it a movie about him. And then Wonder Woman is in it. And if that is what they did, I'm going to be so royally pissed off that I'm going to talk about it on every podcast I do.
Oh, I got to have you on Gonna Geek Show soon. And that would be a good, very good rant.
It'll go on for a bit.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.